This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports.
Okay,
test,
now
test. Testing, testing.
Okay. Good.
Check, check. We're looking good.
Check. Hi. Let me just that Skype window in front. Where the hell has it gone? Got an unbelievable number of windows open here. Where is it? Options.
You need more screens.
Yeah, I'm going to be asking you about that too. Righty. Are we
recording?
Good to go? Okay, great. Welcome to Talk of Asian Marketing. As usual, it's a real pleasure to be with you. And as usual today, we've got the co-host, Clyde. How are you doing?
Hi, James. It's going to be a really exciting show in more ways than one.
Well, of course, yeah, we're kind of tired of talking about restaurants, so we thought we'd better move on to one of those other necessities of life, which, well, is sex, basically. So, how that comes out in the Chinese setting is very, very different. It's very interesting, it's very exciting, and of course, one of the real visual features of this is in the motel scene that we find, particularly in Taiwan. I remember a few years ago when I first moved to Tainan in the south of Taiwan, and a friend said to me, "You know, James, I thought Tainan was a really tourist destination." And I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, you know, they have lots of history and heritage. But the thing that really struck me when I first moved here was all the motels." And he said, "Yeah, after a little time, I suddenly realized this had nothing to do with tourism. And everything to do with entertainment and fun."
So, yeah, they're not motels for people driving through.
Yeah, it's
not people coming as tourists. No, not those kinds of motels. These are love motels.
So I think the contrast is kind of strong. I mean, Clyde, you're from America. When you think of a motel, what does a motel look like in the U.S.?
Well, I think motels develop in the 50s with the highway system, right? So you just pull in, drive over, and it's not unusual, it's not unheard of that motels can be linked to prostitutes and things like that, you know, in seedy areas. But it's taken to a new level in Taiwan, and even in, well, Singapore, of course, not because it's very controlled, even in places in China, but I think you will never see it as open and taken to this kind of artistic level as it is in Taiwan. Certainly in America, you don't get that. It's the opposite. You know, if it's something related to a love motel, related to sex and prostitution, it's run down, seedy, it's someplace you want to avoid, right? But in Taiwan, it's just the opposite.
That's interesting, yes, because as a person watching movies and so on, I mean, I think you get that broad image of the motel like you've described it, which is somewhere you pull off the freeway, you're trying to go from A to B, and it's a place about a bed, and I guess from what you're saying as well, there's some that cater a little bit more for the whole sex scene, but then that has that image of dirty, downridden, not very attractive. But here, these whole motel scene has really blossomed into something very, very different in Taiwan. When we look at them, what are some of the things that struck you about all the motels we see around? I mean, you're from Taizong, I'm from Tainan, Taipei. They're all pretty similar, but they're quite eye-catching, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I think if you scroll down to the bottom of the page on our website, the thing you see right away is at night they're really colorful. At day you might not even recognize them, especially if you don't read the words carefully, or you don't read the Chinese, or you just think it's a motel. Like you were saying, someone thought they're really motels. You would think that, but at night, wow, just look at these photos. Like photo number one shows some of the construction. Some of these places can actually have very unique and unusual construction, not your normal, you know, concrete structure, just square house with a bottom floor for business. No, they usually are freestanding, big, complicated, very unusual. And then at night, they light up. Picture 2 and 3 is just a couple examples. These very colorful neon signs, always lots of neon.
Yeah, I think, yes, your picture 2 and 3, that's really got the neon there, hasn't it? Which is, at night, is so, so eye-catching. I mean, we can see it in picture 32 as well. When you're just driving down the lane, or driving down the road, these are not small lanes, these are big roads. And there you are, you've got the motel sign right in front of you there in picture 32. Picture 33, the same thing. In fact, we've got 1, 2, 3 motels there. And when I turned my head to the left on the other side of the road, there was another motel as well. And you can see that's like a busy, it's a two-lane kind of big arterial road in the city. So really eye-catching. Some of them, of course, are not shy about telling us what it's all about as well. Like your, I think this must be the one that you pulled up a picture from, picture 12, Love Boutique Motel. It's not hiding what it's about, is
no,
it?
That's why I like to call them love motels, because it sounds better than sex hotel. And as I think we'll discuss, they're not necessarily all about sex. But yeah, they have lots of cute names and funny names. Midnight Hotel, Sunny Moon, Full Moon Hotel, these kinds of things. So they're quite interesting. Now, James, anyone who's driving around Taiwan will see these, and I think they may be drawn to how interesting they are. But have you been in one?
Well, here's the story. A few years ago, I didn't have very much space at home. My folks were visiting from UK. And as ever, you think, you know, where can we house them? And my sister-in-law, who at the time worked in a beautician's salon, she had a connection. She said, hey, you know, I can get you a great rate in a motel. It's real close to your place. I said, fantastic. So I was a bit naive about what that might involve. So we got a great rate. We went to check out the room. The room was lovely inside, you know, a nice big bed. Bathroom was big, jacuzzi, but then suddenly I, you know, had a closer look, and there's this dildo by the bed, and you know, some condoms, and then I looked a little more closely, and I realised there's this chair, and it looks a little odd, and it's got sort of instructions, and it's clearly not the chair that you sit in to watch the TV, but you know, it's part of some pretty exotic sex. And when my folks finally showed up, we'd sort of put some of these less desirable things away. My wife goes to flick on the TV, you know, and up comes some hardcore porn.
And, so this is, you know, like this is the motel's internal cable system.
That's right. Yeah,
and they're just looping hardcore sex video.
That's it. It's for free, and you know, you can flick through the channels. But
now, didn't anybody warn you, or did they just didn't think twice about you and your wife going up there?
I didn't. My parents as well. Let's add that in. And of course, Sod's Law kicked in. You know, the batteries in the remote died at that moment. So, so my dad remarked that this was rather exciting TV.
Now, when you took them over, did they have any idea, or did you let them in that these are love motels?
No, I didn't particularly, because I think the significance of it hadn't sort of settled in, and I could see that the room was comfortable, even though it had a few quirks inside.
Well, so, that's the thing, you know, when you see them, you can see some of the direct marketing, the DM flyers we have. And I've been in some of these before, too, and they are really nice inside. I can say the rooms are way better than five-star hotels in Taiwan.
So you've been in some of these high-end ones, have you, Clyde?
Yes.
We have a beautiful one behind my place. In fact, the DM that's we've got posted here, the Soft and Release, that's just behind my place. It's very exotic. They have these.
It looks like something from a science fiction movie. You know,
yeah,
the internal, the lighting and every. I mean, it looks like just you don't even see this in the best hotels.
Yeah, it's very exotic. You know, here we've got like the Persia Fantasy, the Romantic Italy, the Occult India, Turkey Palace, all with their own unique decorations, beautifully lit, exotic.
I want to go to the Japanese Zen space. That's the room I want, the Japanese Zen space.
It draws you right in, doesn't it? Look at that beautiful like wooden floor they've got there, the elegant decoration, as you say. It's very much a high-end boutique image that goes with it. What was your feeling when you actually got inside? And
well, the one I went to once was related to a visiting professor. And I didn't make the arrangements, so it wasn't my fault. But somebody else had made the arrangements, and there were locals who made the arrangements, and they perfectly knew what it was. And I think they thought, well, they're really nice inside; they look great. Hotels in Taiwan are not cheap, same in Hong Kong. I mean, they can really be expensive, and you don't get much. So I think they thought, give them a really nice place, and if you wanted some service on the side, you just order it up at the desk, I guess. And so these pictures you have in your DM and my DM, this is pretty much what I've seen in the ones I've visited, where lots of space around the bed. This is not like a small hotel room. A couch on the side, and a big shower area that, of course, is I've seen them with clear glass, but I've also seen them where they have showers that are like in the room wide open. You know what I mean? It's like there's nothing separating it from the rest of the room. There's no doors or glass or anything. I've even seen that. So they're really big inside and comfortable with huge flat screen TVs on the wall. Really, really nice. And it's hard to equate this with just being about prostitution or sex. I'm not, you know, that's obviously what the emphasis is about, is it's something to do with sex, but I don't think that's what it's all about, James.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Clyde. I mean, the interesting thing as well is how they sort of set up the scene. I mean, we've talked about the DM. I mean, we can see another picture in picture 29. This shows another motel. This is quite close to my place. Again, the environment, the setting is somewhat exotic. This one looks quite European. It's called the Edinburgh Motel, and it has a very European kind of flavor. When you look at the pictures, it's almost like a fake fireplace there. And
no, I don't think we're going to get a hotel room in Edinburgh that looks this good. I'll tell you the truth.
Okay, you visited Edinburgh, you know.
I think this is better than the real thing.
Well, you know what they say about how good Chinese fakes are getting? Well, that kind of bears it out, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
So, but we also see in picture 26 that, you know, there's that taste of entertainment as well. I should say these cardboard cutouts put up in front of the motel, they're eye-catching, they're easy to see from the road. We've got here, a picture of a nurse and what looks like a kind of naughty madam. Well, these are not ladies that are going to come and visit your hotel room. Rather, you can have the costumes, and it becomes part of a whole dressing up kind of thing. And that can be, you know, people talk about that as well. You can dress up and do the sort of doctor nurse bit, I guess, or people can just dress up like we do sometimes. You know, I'm sure you must have done it in the States, Clyde. You like sometimes have a theme party and people show up in, like, you know, 1960s dress or 70s dress. Sometimes people are kind of looking at the motel space for that opportunity as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, right. Just, I think that's a good point. That's a good market segment you bring up. I think lots of people who have lived in Japan or other parts of Asia quickly pick up on this. Sex does not have the whole guilt trip that it does in the West. So you get a lot more opportunity or a lot more openness in the marketing effort to do this kind of marketing. Like, you can come here, have a party, bring over some friends. And just like my example, professors lining up another professor to stay at this place. There's not really a lot of shame or embarrassment about that. So, yeah, this looks like fun.
The puritanical element that's quite dominant in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, I can just see John Cleese, right, having a heart attack if we aligned him up with one of these rooms.
Well, we're talking as well about the whole Carry On movie series. I mean, that's the whole epitome of how it's seen in the UK.
Exactly.
A sort of bit of a, ooh, Mrs., you know, what's going on here kind of thing. Whereas here it's it's much more a fact of life, and it's much more integrated as a natural thing. Not necessarily something you talk about a lot, but it's just natural. It's what people need to do, and it's just woven into the fabric of society. So I think what we're coming to that's interesting here is that, yeah, some of it seems to be about people that are looking for a private space, maybe to go there with someone significant, but it also seems to cater for a whole lot of other possibilities, including, you know, people just getting together for a private party, because people don't necessarily have house parties in the same way as they do, you know, back in the UK, US.
Right, exactly. I think we've mentioned this in other shows, specifically the real estate show, show 80 was that, that, you know, you don't really have people over to your house and you don't go visiting people's house that much. That's unusual. You go out to dinner to restaurants. So how would you have a social event if you're not doing it at home? You have to have a place.
Exactly, and I think this is certainly one segment that they cater for. So you get an attractive place you can go to with your friends, you split up the money, then suddenly it's not so expensive anymore. You could dress up and have like a theme party, you can have your KTV kind of, you can sing along to the tunes in there, you can have your food, you can have your alcohol, you can have a real nice equivalent of a house party, but in a location outside. So I think that's a segment that certainly is drawn to the whole motel space, as well as other groups as well.
Yeah, I would say that one segment I see right off the top of my head is how this has developed lately. Now, you didn't used to have so many of these really fancy motels 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It used to be, when I first came to Taiwan in the 80s, the big thing was MTV. So MTV has basically become KTV now. They were individual rooms you pay for drinks. You used to rent video, music videos, and watch it. And basically, you get a very private space. And here's the key point. If you're a couple, especially a young couple, and you're trying to find private space, it's frickin' impossible. And so that's the option. You go to KTV. Now that's come to be MTV, which is more about entertainment and partying and all that. So I think the motels is this kind of, not so much the entertainment or the fun stuff or a big party and drinking, but if you just want a private space with your significant other, this is the place you can go.
That's it, yeah. I think it has the overtones as well of the Japanese, and of course people are living together often with family, so it's not convenient to take someone back who's not necessarily in the space of being moving into the family group just of yet. So you want that family private space where you can go. So it certainly fills that niche. What about the prices, Clyde? Are we talking something that's cheap, or what sort of money are we talking here?
In my mind, expensive. But you have to contextualize that in the sense of what do hotels cost. And Taiwan is unusual this way. Although lots of things are cheap, living is cheap. Salaries, James, I think you and I can confirm, are very low. Hotels are not. Hotels are outrageously expensive in Taiwan for some strange reason. And so if you look at it compared to a hotel, reasonable, but for just regular going there, it's quite expensive. They have two rates usually. One is resting rate, shosis rate, and the other one is the nightly
rate. Of course,
rate.
We should say that's a euphemism usually.
Yes, so rest means you're coming in to get some action. Now, that action may include that you get something from the desk maybe, or some ladies that come in, and that, of course, would cost extra. I think if you're not doing that, you're just getting the room for a short time, and short time depends on the motel, how long that is. That could be 20 to 50 U.S. dollars for an hour to a couple hours. And then for a night, I think you range from the basic price about 150 U.S. dollars for the night, up to $400 or $500 for the night for the really big and fancy rooms that you can see in some of the DM we have. So
yeah,
not cheap. I would not call that cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, you can see the prices are fairly high. And when we're starting to look and talk about the show, I was really struck by the fact that you can go around the city. And, you know, quite often, even some fairly respectable kind of hotels, will often have a small sign somewhere that will say, you know, 3 hours
resting
rest
rate. Yeah.
Is so much. You know, I picked up just the other day a photo here. We can see this is photo 38. This is, in fact, close to the train station, but there's these three signs here. These are all separate hotels. They've all got the room rate here. On the right side, you can say 390. I think that's for 3 hours. So we're talking a price that's way, way, way lower than some of quite a lot of the motel rates. So it's quite interesting to see that people perceive a whole lot more value within the motel offer, and that really suggests that we're not just talking about people looking for a place where they can go and make out, basically, but they're looking for a whole lot more value beyond that, which is where the motel space has really, really capitalized, that people are looking for a lot more about the environment, the situation, than just the basics of a room with a bed. And
yeah, I think that's where that departs from that U.S. kind of feeling we were talking about, where it's just a room with a bed. That's definitely not what this is. It's much more an experience marketing kind of event thing.
It is. And when we look at this, a nice analogy, of course, is that, you know, if you want to take someone that's important out, you know, you might say, well, you know, let's go to somewhere exotic. You know, people often make jokes about going to Bali or going to, you know, the Seychelles or somewhere that's tropical, somewhere exotic. And in a way, that's what some of these very high-end motels are creating. They're creating an experience. So you're going off to your Japanese Zen space, but you're not traveling to Japan. You're traveling around the corner. It's very, very convenient.
You don't got to get on an airplane. You don't have to spend all that money. You don't have to spend more than a day. Here you just go for a night, and you have that kind of experience, that fun, and you spoil yourself a little bit.
Exactly, exactly. So I think this market's really quite interesting. At first, you kind of look at it, you have a little giggle about it, but then as you look at it a little bit more, it's actually quite interesting. The whole value proposition is quite interesting. I mean, Clyde, if you were thinking of introducing it to, you know, some, say, American visitor, you know, What might be a few key things that they should walk away thinking about the whole Love Motel scene?
Well, I think one of the key things would be, first of all, look at their design. Their outside design is not just something to get by some developer who's just spending the minimum. These guys are really spending a lot of money. These designs are, you know, very costly. Interior decoration, you've got to stop in, take a look at the inside. And then look at some of the extras, maybe things like the costumes you're talking about. Do they have a catering maybe for a group of people? Can a party go on here? And, of course, also look at the idea of where would you go to just take a rest with your partner if you just had no place to go socially, not just physically but also socially. I mean, people gossip a lot. There's a lot of looking at what other people are doing. Where would you go? On the other hand, there is a lot of just sex going on and hooking up kind of thing, supposedly. And, you know, you can see on the TV and on the gossip newspaper, the rags, they always have reporters hiding, photographers hiding in the grass by some of these and taking pictures of license plates and then matching it up later to what government official it is. So that happens, but I wouldn't want to categorize it just like that. And the key point is, look at some of our photos, walk around on the streets. There are so many of these. It can't just be people, you know, having an affair, unless, well, I don't know. I don't know the numbers, but, you know, I think there's different market segments, and some of these places have really found those segments, really got those niches, and I think they're making good money.
I'm really convinced. I think that's, as you say, Clyde, there's definitely the element, of course, people going there for the sex element. There must be people, you know, going there because they're they've got several relationships going on. But clearly that's actually not the overriding theme of what's going on here. It's a really quite an interesting market, and it's really capitalized on the social element of the need for space, the need for private space. But then that private space is used actually in a whole lot of different ways that actually you don't first think about. I think that really makes it quite an intriguing proposition that from the outside looking in, it's quite easy to miss that nuance.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I think about it, I look at these pictures, especially the flyer you got and the DM you have. Wow, these places are pretty nice. If I was to spend, like, just want to get away with my wife for a night or a couple days somewhere, why not stay here rather than pay the same amount of money or, you know, even if it's a little bit less for a hotel, which is, you know, totally different, a little tiny bed in a little tiny room. And you know, it's very private too. They have them set up that you drive your car in and you park, and your parking goes right into the building you're staying in.
Yeah, it's very neatly done. And even when you arrive, the kind of checking in space is quite discreet. You're not really visible. They sort of the way they design the drive in is quite private, so that whole thing is
The whole service scape, the way they execute it, the contact with the customers. I mean, if you see these photos and you say, wow, these are really fancy whorehouses, no, there's a lot more to it than just that. They've really perfected that whole service contact with the customer to give you that feeling of, you know, security, safety, anonymity, and ease of just going in and checking in. And it's really smooth. I was shocked when I first, like I say, checked it out with my visiting professor, and it's like, wow, this is really a smooth operation.
Yeah, very discreet, very smooth. But I do suggest, if you're going to select one, Clyde, don't read the English. You'll see in picture 30, the English is the biggest come down.
Yeah, if our listeners get a chance, check out picture 30. This is very typical of translations of Chinese to English. I think they need to get a better translation.
Yeah, I think the Chinese is probably working pretty well, but the English is leaving a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, I think the stuff about saliva kind of turns me off. Okay. James, great topic, and I think this is a distinct market. Maybe later we'll have another show to talk about the MTV, KTV space, which I think is quite distinct from this Love Motel space.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. I'm looking forward to that as well, Clyde. I think that caters to another space, operates in a slightly different way, and as usual has that real Chinese flavor that we both really get deep into. That's great stuff. Look forward to the next one, Clyde.
All right, see you next time.
See ya.
This is Talk of Asian Marketing, with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports.